Welcome to Today on Broadway for Tuesday, October 18th, 2016. I'm Broadway World's Matt Tamanini.
And I am Broadway star's James Marino.
James, we're recording a little later than normal because while I was watching a pitcher's finger explode with blood in the baseball playoffs, you were watching the Broadway for Hillary live stream, just a little bit of it because it's probably going to go on for quite a while. But this thing has an insane lineup. Sarah Jessica Parker, Lin-Manuel Miranda, Billy Crystal, Hugh Jackman, Joel Grey, Sienna Miller, Matthew Broderick, Emily Blunt, Bernadette Peters, Barbara Streisand, Jamie Foxx, Josh Groban, Cynthia Erivo. It's just goes on. Jake Gyllenhaal, Helen Mirren, Uzo Aduba, Neil Patrick Harris. Just an insane amount of stars. And I loved how you described it. How did you describe what this live stream is?
It's like the muscular dystrophy marathon, you know, where they have a song and then a speech and then send money to Hillary and then a song and a speech. But your list reminds me of something. It's probably easier just to list who's not there.
Yeah,
so
true.
Kelsey Grammer.
And Stephen Roth.
Yeah. Exactly. Stephen's son and Stephen's wife are there.
Hey, you know, yeah. They're, you know, Stephen and Daryl's votes cancel each other out, so Jordan is the tiebreaker.
Well, Jordan votes in New York City. Stephen and Daryl vote in New Jersey, so we'll see.
That's true. Whatever.
All right. So Broadway for Hillary will probably still be streaming as the election is rounding its way up. So you probably, hopefully, people have asked if it's going to be available to be streamed later. I haven't heard anything. Had you?
I haven't heard anything official, but no. This is the internet and it's pretty much the wild, wild west. So I have a feeling that if you want to see videos of them, they will be out there, whether officially or otherwise. So obviously, we're recording while it's still going on, so I don't know if you know, Hillary for America or whatever her official campaign is called, we'll put those videos out, but I have a feeling you'll be able to find them one way or the other.
All right, Will Smith, Wild Wild West. First up.
Wild Wild West, yeah.
First up in the stories, Andrew Lloyd Webber's really useful group names Ken Davenport, head of North America.
Wowzer, James.
Whoa.
Yeah, James, I gotta say,
he's the head of North America, so like he's in charge of like Canada,
yes,
U.S. and Mexico.
Yes, Donald Trump and Hillary Clinton are vying to be his assistant. No, Ken Davenport is now the head of he's the executive producer of North America for the Really Useful Group. And James, I've got to say, I'm surprised by this announcement.
Mm-hmm.
As I said yesterday, the Really Useful Group, which is Andrew Lloyd Webber's London-based production company, announced that it has hired New York producer Ken Davenport as the executive producer for North America. Davenport will report to Jessica Korovos, the president of the Really Useful Group, and will support the UK team in overseeing the company's shows on Broadway and on tour in North America. As we discussed last week, we told you that the Really Useful Group would be forming a licensing arm with Concord Bicycle Music to kind of manage ALW's shows license-wise, as well as hoping to assist authors and composers in creating new work. So there's no news in how Davenport's new role will play into that, but I'm sure they will be connected. Davenport, who, as I'm sure everybody listening knows, runs the Producer's Perspective podcast and blog, said that he will continue to work on his own projects, including the recently announced to maybe someday potentially come to Broadway revival of Once on This Island. James, with three ALW shows currently on Broadway and Sunset Boulevard apparently to be announced at any time, this is one hell of a new gig for Davenport, who, I mean, to be quite frank, doesn't have a great track record on Broadway when it comes to profitability. And to be even more frank, is a guy that many people are a little uncomfortable with at times, whether it's his Kickstarter to get Spring Awakening on the Tonys or charging playwrights money to enter a new play contest. There's a lot of people that are slightly put off by some of the things that he does at times.
Definitely a non-traditional producer, looking at Broadway from a much different direction than tradition. you know, really useful group and Andrew Lloyd Webber have had a vacillating presence here in New York from a producerial standpoint over the years. I mean, Edgar Dobie, we've talked about Edgar before, was head of really useful in the States here during the Sunset Boulevard times. And so, you know, I don't know what to make of this. And certainly Ken knows how to run a general manager's office and a producing office, and he knows the ins and outs of a tour. So maybe they're consolidating GM all into one place. I don't know. We'll have to see how this plays out. But certainly it's a head scratcher for everybody out there. I didn't think Ken would ever work for anybody else. He and I have talked about that before. And I went back. I interviewed Ken for This Week on Broadway a number of years ago. And I went back to listen to that stuff. And I had thought that he and I had talked about that, but we didn't talk about it during that interview. So at some other point, we talked about him working for other people. And at that point, he said that he didn't really see himself doing that. But let's see how this plays out. This is going to be a very interesting thing.
Yeah.
I'm not sure what boxes it checks for anybody, but let's see how it goes.
Yeah, I mean, I think it, you know, to be fair and balanced on this, there's a lot of people who are uncomfortable. Sorry, with some things that Ken does, but there are a lot of things that, at least me personally, I am very much on board of that he does. I think obviously embracing the blog and the podcast thing, he's trying to do new things with that. But he also is all about pushing technology and pushing theater forward into doing things. In a more, you know, breaking the mold of what Broadway does. Broadway is a very tradition-laden community, and he tries to do things outside the box, whether it's the live stream that he did with And Don't You Dare Make Fun of our show. The show's gone. I can't remember what it was called. You loved putting down his little two-person show that he did the live stream of, and I enjoyed it. I can't remember what the hell it was called, but anyway. But you know, he does things outside the box, and I appreciate that. So maybe that's what ALW is going for. Maybe they're going to try to really shake things up. And you know, he's done a lot of stuff with live to movie theaters in the UK. Andrew Lloyd Webber has, especially with things like Phantom. So maybe he's looking at Ken to try to shake things up here in the States as well. So either way, it'll be fun to find out.
Daddy Long Legs.
That's it. Thank you.
So yeah, we're going to have to see what happens here. I think that Andrew Lloyd Webber has come back with a vengeance to New York and is upsetting the apple cart, something huge, and I love that. That is my favorite thing. All right, let's get to the reviews for Roundabout's revival of The Cherry Orchard.
Oh, James.
Yeah.
These reviews make me sad because they're pretty brutal. I won't belabor them by getting into them, but we talked about the show yesterday. Huge stars, Diane Lane, Celia Keenan-Bolger, Joel Grey, and many, many more. The Roundabout produced it, and it does not look good. The New York Times' Ben Brantley wrote, quote, "This frenzied, flashy take on one family's mortgage crisis may be the most clueless interpretation of Chekhov I have seen. And yes, that includes high school, college, and community theater productions." David Cody of Time Out New York wrote, "I'm all for director's theater when it comes to classics. The only question is whether a new frame or filter works on its own terms. And with this thoughtful but often schematic and disjointed Cherry Orchard, the answer is only in spurts." Linda Weiner from Newsday said, "It hurts to have to write this, but the much-anticipated production, with Diane Lane at the top of a blazingly promising cast, is perplexing, stylistic gibberish. Worse, it is unmoving." James, to borrow a cliche from the sports world, I guess that's why they don't produce Broadway shows on paper, because this seemingly had everything you would expect for an incredibly compelling production: a great cast, a hot up-and-coming director, a great playwright writing a new adaptation. But apparently this one just fell flat, and it really didn't have anybody singing its praises.
Yeah, you know, we've all seen this where you have something that really looks like it's going to be amazing, and it just, you know,
is it?
I wonder if you can, if I don't know if we it's possible for us to think back objectively, but I think that when I thought back at it, that Spider-Man and U2 sounded like a really good idea, and I was looking forward to that. You think back even way, way, way back. You look at Nick and Nora, and you thought that would be a great adaptation that was a Broadway disaster. And then the other aspect of it is that coming up in our near future is that people say the front page is perhaps a half an hour, 45 minutes too long.
Well, we'll get to that later this week or early next week when we're able to do the reviews. I think the difference, James, in the other things you pointed out with Nick and Nora and Spider-Man is that those were new shows. And while it might have been a good idea, and it could still be a good idea if it was done by somebody else, that might have been just as much in the execution. We know that The Cherry Orchard is a good show. We know that it is a well-written play. So this is more on this production rather than the property as a whole, where Nick and Nora and Spider-Man Turn Off the Dark version 18 might have failed. So who knows? I just feel bad for the cast because there are so many people that I love in that cast, and I was hoping for something better for them. And I was even, you know, had my fingers crossed that Celia Keenan-Bolger could have won her first Tony finally, but it is not looking good.
No, I got an email from a Broadway insider that asked if I had seen Cherry Orchard yet, and I said no, I was going to go see it this Friday. And he said, I'm so sorry in advance. If a worse production comes along this season, I'll be surprised. And so that's the inside view from Broadway these days. All right, let us move forward into last week's Broadway grosses.
Yeah, coming off a pretty good week featuring the Columbus Day weekend, last time we talked about grosses, Broadway is holding fairly steady, down just about $535,000 with the same number of shows playing, which, you know, $500,000 is $500,000. But, you know, when you had a holiday weekend the week before, it's not too bad. Hamilton is again the only show above $2 million with the Lion King close behind. Wicked, Aladdin, The Book of Mormon, The Front Page, School of Rock, and Beautiful were all above $1 million as well. No surprises after that holiday weekend that I spoke of that had most schools given the long 3-day weekend. The three shows that had the biggest drops were family-friendly shows The Lion King, Wicked, and Aladdin, all dropping at least $59,000. But when they're pulling in as much as those three shows are, that's really a drop in the bucket. In the first week of 8 full performances, La Liaison d'Anjou did a respectable $644,591, about 76.5% of its gross potential. Black to the Future returned to the boards with a whopping $172,000 in its one Monday performance, nearly 102% of its gross potential. Buoyed by its closing notice, Jersey Boys posted its best week since the one that ended on January 3rd of this year, grossing $792,404. Those numbers, believe it or not, might even go up as Dancing with the Stars champion Mark Ballas joins the production as Frankie Valli today. James, not a whole lot of really earth-shattering stuff in those grosses, but overall, it was a pretty good week for Broadway.
Yeah, very, very strong. That's awesome. All right, next up, Wallace announces cast for Michael Arden-directed Merrily We Roll Along.
Yeah, if you guys remember, we talked about the readings they did with this over the summer with Titus Burgess, Steve Kazee, and some other Broadway folks. But this announcement timed very well with the release of Lonnie Price's documentary on the original Broadway production. Yesterday, the Wallace Annenberg Center for the Performing Arts in Los Angeles, I think it's actually Beverly Hills, but they announced the cast of its production of Merrily We Roll Along, which is set to begin performances on November 23rd. Directed by Tony nominee Michael Arden, the cast features Emmy winner Wayne Brady as Charlie Kringus, Aaron Laser as Franklin Shepard, Donna Vivino as Mary Flynn, Saikhan Singhblah as Gussie Carnegie, Whitney Basher as Beth Spencer, and Amir Talai as Joe Josephson. In fact, I just saw this before we started recording, so this isn't in the script, but apparently Michael Arden said, "I'm so happy that this is the last day of rehearsals for Merrily We Roll Along." Just kidding. It's a
the
joke.
First day.
Because it goes backwards. So anyway, the production is scheduled to run through December 18th, but I would be shocked if it doesn't extend. And James, I kind of hope that this one transfers to New York, because with a cast like this and all of the goodwill the show has cultivated over the years, this might just be the time for Merrily to be a success on Broadway.
Oh, Merrily is the New York Mets
it's the white whale.
It's the New York Mets of Broadway. It's there to break your heart every time. I hope it comes to New York. I really do, and I hope that it's a success. It's a tough show to market. It's a tough show to sell.
Yeah.
All right. Next up, playwrights welcome to provide free theater for writers.
Yeah, yesterday a new program called Playwrights Welcome was announced via the joint efforts of the Dramatists Guild of America, Samuel French, Dramatist Play Service, Dramatic Publishing, Music Theater International, Play Scripts, the Rodgers and Hammerstein Organization, and participating theaters. The goal of Playwrights Welcome is to provide free access to theater for playwrights, composers, and lyricists, because these groups and organizations all believe that attending theater is an integral part to how writers learn their craft and grow as artists. Playwrights Welcome is designed to offer available tickets that would otherwise go unsold to Dramatists Guild playwrights on the day of the performance free of charge. Currently, there are 22 theaters in New York and around the country participating, including the Roundabout Theater Company, the Vineyard Theater, and the Atlantic Theater Company in New York, Ford's Theater in Washington, D.C., the Goodman in Chicago, La Jolla, Berkeley Rep, and Geffen Playhouse in California, and more. We will have a full list in the show notes at BroadwayRadio.com, so check that out if you are a member of the Dramatists Guild. You might be able to get to see some free theater. James, this is a great program. I would imagine that more theaters will join as time goes on. And if the tickets are just going to go unsold, you might as well give them to people who you might be able to help encourage to write the next great American play or musical.
Absolutely. Just like an airplane taking off, once the doors are closed, who cares if somebody's paying in the seat or if the seat is empty? Get more people into the theater, and let's not limit it to just playwrights, and let's get it in there for people who are musicians and people who are actors and things like that. I think that there are similar programs like this that happen. All right, so that's awesome. Why don't you get us out of here?
All right, thanks for listening to Today on Broadway. Follow us on Facebook and Twitter at Broadway Radio. And you can find me on Twitter at BWWMatt, and subscribe to Something Like It Pop on iTunes, Stitcher, and Google Play.
And my name is James Marino from BroadwayRadio.com and BroadwayStars.com. Thanks for spending some of your Tuesday with us. Everybody should have a Schmackery's cookie, and we will talk to you tomorrow.